The British government has been deeply reluctant to spell out any criticisms it might have of President Trump, perhaps looking a bit scared of upsetting him. In the United Nations, while we've been on air, the UK has said it reaffirms its commitment to international law and the principles enshrined in the Charter of the United Nations. So it has said that, but it has not said that anything the US did was contrary to that. And there's another example, of course, from this morning of UK reaction to US words and actions. Here's one. Here's the Home Office Minister, Mike Tapp, who's doing a round of interviews and was inevitably asked about President Trump's ambition for the US to take over Greenland. There's been rising concern about that in the last 48 hours. The US president has addressed it. And Mike Tapp seemed unable to say even what is obviously the British position that Trump should keep his hands off Greenland. Here was Mike Tapp talking to Sophie Ridge on Sky.
What I can say really clearly is I can't see this being any different to any previous conversations that need to be had between NATO members.
And I find it extraordinary you can't just say flat out that Donald Trump needs to...
And I think the Venezuelan issue...
Intervene on Greenland.
The Venezuelan issue
is
obviously different to the Greenland issue. But that's for them to have those discussions. It's for NATO to have that solid anchor to ensure that there is no division here.
So you don't have an opinion on whether or not Donald Trump should go into Greenland?
Well, look, this isn't for me to sit here and talk about hypotheticals.
So that was this morning's line from... be honest, a minister. A bit later, the line had hardened up because the Prime Minister himself was asked about it and was far clearer, still not wanting to directly criticise the American president by name.
The future of Greenland is for Greenland and the Kingdom of Denmark, and for Greenland and the Kingdom of Denmark only. And we're very clear about that. Denmark is a very close ally of the UK, both in Europe and in NATO. And it's very important that we stand by our ally.
So the Prime Minister saying, no, we do support Denmark and Greenland. That's the UK. But Europe more generally has sometimes seemed trapped between a desire to keep Trump friendly and a desire to prepare for a world in which he might not be. And the issue of Greenland is perhaps the ultimate test. It may seem like a far-fetched scenario, but it's certainly one the Danish Prime Minister is taking very seriously this afternoon. In fact, she said, I believe one should take the American president seriously, but I will also make it clear, if the US chooses to attack another NATO country militarily, then everything stops, including NATO, and thus the security that's been established since the end of the Second World War. Well, a little earlier, I spoke to the Danish MEP, Henrik Dahl. He's from the Liberal Alliance Party, and I started by asking him how seriously he takes any US claim to Greenland.
I think the perception has changed. During Trump's first presidency in 2019, he proposed to buy Greenland, and this was brushed off by Prime Minister Frederiksen, who was also Prime Minister at that time. So 6 years ago, it was thought of as a sort of a typical Trump, as over the top, et cetera, et cetera. Now it's taken very, very seriously, not least because of Venezuela, but also because it has been repeated on several occasions.
Right. I'm trying to think in my head what the US would do. I mean, what would it mean? I mean, do they just say it's ours now, or do they send in... troops, more troops? They've got a base there. What do you see actually as the risk?
We don't really know what the game plan would be. It could be an offer you can't resist. It could be cooperation with separatists, or it could be a military intervention, or it could be fourth or fifth option that I can't really think of. But I think everybody in the policy establishment, the political elite, if you will, thinks that this matter needs very, very serious attention, and we need the backing of our allies in Europe.
Right. The Europeans, I think, are not in any doubt about Greenland's status. But are they clear enough in saying this is not going to happen and we're not going to let it happen? And just in case anybody's in any doubt, we'll perhaps put a few European troops there just to make sure that no one is in any confusion about this matter.
We don't know, to be quite honest, because the new currency in international affairs is power, and we don't have a surplus of that new currency. To the contrary, we have we have too little power. Power may mean a lot of things. It means leverage. It means military power. It means, you know, technical sovereignty, et cetera, et cetera. But we don't have a lot of power in Europe anymore. So it's hard for us to set up a red line, because if the red line is crossed, then what? Then what are you going to do? If you set up a red line, it implies that there will be some kind of forceful response if you cross the red line. But we can't do this. We were very happy that during the summer of 2025, President Macron went to Nuuk, the capital city of Greenland, with the Prime Minister of the Home Rule and the Danish Prime Minister. And he made a very good speech in a very good press conference. And he also stated that France would come to the aid of Denmark. And they even sent a ship and some troops to Greenland just for an exercise. But the signal was clear, I think. Hopefully, with the United Kingdom in the framework of NATO, we are very, very happy that you, your Prime Minister, has our back as well. But I just think we have to be more clear about this. And we have to understand that we have to enforce the rules-based international order ourselves. There's nobody else to enforce it.
Yeah, well, would you like, as a Danish politician, would you like more of that from European allies, just to see a little bit more European presence in and around Greenland?
It's not that I imagine urban combat between the French Foreign Legion and the US Marines in Nuuk or something like that, but although it would be a good script for a movie, but I would like to see an enhanced military presence in Greenland, even though I don't understand how it's come this far. We have a base agreement with the United States from 1951. It has always worked. We have tolerated nuclear weapons in Greenland. I mean, we have really been very forthcoming when it comes to military cooperation with the US.
Well, that brings us to the bigger question, which is, here we are, start of a year. Have the rules of the game changed? Do you feel something significant has changed in the last 48 hours?
I think there's more honesty. I don't think there ever was a rules-based international order in a very strict academic sense. I think there was a balance between power and norms, and that you could use norms to sort of discipline your allies and criticize them. But there has always been power underneath. And if you look at the permanent members of the Security Council, if you look at the United States, Russia, China, they don't really respect the UN Charter, to be quite honest. France and the UK do respect the Charter.
Danish MEP Henrik Dahl there saying, yeah, the Brits and the French respect the laws, but the big powers, they do what they can get away with it when it's in their interest. That was focusing on Greenland.